Have you ever felt like you wanted to be a mom, but you don't have a partner? Or have you ever been told that the traditional route to motherhood isn't going to work for you? Well, in this podcast, Jess and I are breaking down the different or less traditional pathways to motherhood. Hey there, I'm Erica, and I'm the creator and host of the Next Stop Nonstop podcast, as well as international purser and flight attendant. Welcome or welcome back to my channel, where I release a podcast episode just like this one every week, giving you insights about relationship, careers, travel, and wellness. And we discuss with experts as well as everyday people so that you can use our life lessons to enhance your lifestyle. Be sure to write a review wherever you're listening to or watching this episode. That way we can find and connect with more people just like you. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. All right, let's get to it. I have the beautiful Jess on the show with us, and today we're going to be talking about pathways to motherhood. So Jess, can you go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Yes, I'm Jess. I'm 43, and I have been in the teaching education for 16, 17 years. And now I have embarked on this IVF journey, and so that has included a lot of different things. And as of today, I'm 32 weeks pregnant, so we're on the home stretch. Listen, I'm excited. single mom by choice, and I can go into that if you want to, because I feel like some people know, and some people are like, what does that even, you mean like you cut off your baby daddy and that's it, or what is it?
I was going to say, whenever you're finished, we're going to get into it. Don't worry.
Okay, so I was like, yep. And then so just doing this process, living in DC, super supportive community. My baby showers next week.
Yes.
I was like, I gotta think about baby showers next week. I'm super excited, super scared, but like doing it, got a doula, try to get support and all that. So I'm just ready to talk about this journey. It's been a great, humbling journey is what it's been. Humbling is what it's been.
I bet.
It'll teach you patience. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into it, right? So let's start with single mother by choice. So for anybody who doesn't know, tell them what that means.
Single mom by choice. I think this is people wrestle with this. Single mom by choice is like you're basically going into this saying like, look, I don't have a partner as of yet, or don't want one. But I want the need or want of being a mom is so strong that it supersedes that. So you opt to be a mom, whether it's like you could do it through adoption and be a single mom by choice, and or you could do it through, you know, IVF, IUI, IVF, in vitro fertilization, or intrauterine sterilization. And so more and more doctors I've noticed have put on their paperwork as an option, and just saying single, separated, married, widowed, which I think I appreciate that, because it doesn't make you feel so isolated still, because I think the process of IVF can make you kind of feel isolated. Even being pregnant can make you feel sometimes like weirdly alone, especially it's not like everybody's out here like pregnant at the same time. So.
Yeah. It's not just you. We know that.
Right.
But so you did mention IUI and IVF. So let's kind of go into that. So let's start with what IUI is and what IVF is, and then we'll go into have you done both?
Okay. IUI is intrauterine insemination. I think when we hear IVF, like you always hear like donors and you hear about these things. So actually couples, infertility actually is like really prevalent in all communities. And meaning what I mean by infertility doesn't necessarily mean you can't have kids. You're just having trouble having kids. I think that's another thing, a misconception with IVF that people have. And so intrauterine insemination is not as invasive. And so you're just either you're using your own eggs and you're taking your partner or your donor's sperm, and you're making it into they make it into a beautiful embryo, and they inseminate it through your uterus, which is a more like quote unquote like more natural. That's how, because that's what normally would happen if you had a baby naturally. But if you do IVF, I like it because it's straight to the shoot. So IVF is we bypass the uterus. You go straight into the we go right into like the cervix, and we get like right into like all we get into the nitty gritty. They implant it. Hopefully, gets you know embedded into the wall, and then you wait a long 2 weeks and then pull that out. So both I think are hard because it's more emotional. The process is emotional. Process is expensive, unfortunately, here in the States. And not everybody understands. So it's one of those things like I think families get excited like, oh, when are you going to have kids? This, that, and the third. So when you're saying IVF, I think people don't know what to ask. And yet, and you still are learning the system. So it's like you don't know what to say or ask either because you're like learning along the way. But yeah, so I did not do IUI. I did not qualify. So you will also, they'll do a bunch of tests, as you know, and to see whether IUI or IVF is your best route. For me, I think a couple of things. I was sick before this. So I had cancer in 2019. So therefore, my ovaries are just, they're there for decoration. And so my best bet was to, but my womb was good. So I think that's the other thing. People think, oh, I have PCOS. I have this, I have that. Please go. I feel like, especially in our community, definitely go get checked out because you never know what you could do. Basically, I cannot have kids no more. I'm at my age plus my history. My percentage of having my own kids is really low. So I did the option of doing donor egg, donor sperm, IVF. So, and that was a process within a process. Mm-hmm.
So just for anybody, just for clarification, what you're saying is donor. So you took was it an embryo or the actual egg? You took an egg from, okay. Mm-hmm. So you had a woman come in and she donated her actual eggs, mm-hmm. and you had one of those that were frozen, I assume. Mm-hmm. And then a donor sperm. And we'll talk about how you can pick those individuals and get into all that criteria after mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that's because that's a process too, right? I think when we think of IVF and IUI, I don't think people realize there's like a grieving process to it. And so like, because you're realizing, oh, I can't, you know, just procreate out here in these streets and just get pregnant. So you're kind of basing it on like science-y, you know, facts. And I think there's like a, again, I think that's societal. I really do. I think that's more cultural too, because our parents and so on and so forth. But even with that though, I think like how we have group for it, we meet for group every month. I think hearing more and more people go through the process makes it a little bit more easier, and seeing people that look like you.
100%. And let's take a moment there. So that is actually how we met, how Jess and I met. I have been, I don't want to say debating, but I have been going back and forth, just debating about being a single mother by choice. I haven't found a partner that I am able or ready or, you know, willing to have a baby with mm-hmm. at this point. And I have been dealing, I wouldn't say dealing with it, but I've been thinking about it since I was about 28. I am now currently 33. And it's been something that I've been going back and forth with. So it's nothing that I really ever talked about mm-hmm. to anyone outside of my immediate family mm-hmm. or maybe the men that I've dated. but other than that, you know, it's been pretty quiet. Yeah. Now, when it comes to you and I, we met in, it's a fertility therapy, basically a group session with women, who are single mothers by choice, and just trying to go through the process of being a mother, right? Pathways to motherhood. Now, can you tell us how you found out about, group therapy or fertility therapy?
I honestly picked the fertility facility because they offered this. Like, there are certain things I think when I was doing my research, I was like, okay, I have my own therapy, but I feel like to unpack this needs like a separate entity or something else, which, as you know, like 100%. I love the fact that it's led by a, you know, like a psychologist, like it's someone who can, like, it's not just us, like, asking each other questions and like bantering back and forth for, and like that, I'm sure that could go on for hours. She does a really good job of, you know, let's talk about specific things. Let's answer these questions. But getting firsthand accounts, I think, is valuable. That's how I found out. And I love the fact that it's not, some places charge you, where other places, this place does not, which I was like, yeah, because you already got me. So
I was going to say, yeah, I was going to say it's already expensive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You already got me. So I think, like, it was dope. And she just so happened to be, I also appreciate the fact that they do a psychological evaluation before you go through the process. And like, I genuinely feel like she would be like, this ain't right.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes you need that. You need somebody who's 100%. Not in it, right? Now, yeah. I know this is what you want. I know, but you know, you need to, you know, take some more time. There needs to be some more healing, some more breathing, whatever it is that you need. You need to do that. And they will let you know. They will not allow you to continue the process without that, because this process is extremely stressful. The emotions, because of course you might go through it the first round of IUI or IVF and it might not work. Right. You know, so you go through a lot, and we'll get into all of that shortly. But yes, it is a lot. So I'm so happy that I met you, and I'm so happy that they had it, because I was 28 and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a partner. And you know, I'm about to be 30. Of course, I was stressed out by that in general, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, just what are my options? And that's how I got into it. I was just curious of my options. I wasn't necessarily ready yet, but I just wanted to know what the process was. And so there's tests, and we were talking about that. So a few tests that I went through, of course, was the of the few that I've gone through, of course, the psychological test, right? Yeah. But then also the medical. So you do your blood work. What is it? I don't know about urine sample. I think it was the HSG. Yeah.
First you start simple. And I feel like then they kind of ease you in. That's how they get you.
Yes.
Like urine sample. Then we'll just take one vial. Then it's four.
Yeah.
Then it's like, so we're going to do some genetic testing.
Yes.
And at the time, it seems like so much. Yeah. But now looking back, I'm so thankful in the sense of like, for I got pregnant naturally, I would have no idea genetically a lot of the questions or information. So there's certain things I can answer to, as opposed to like my friends or people I know that are pregnant, they cannot, because they don't have the answers. And I'm like, oh, you know, you take that for granted. So a lot of heavy lifting in the beginning. It's a bunch of testing for like making sure your hormone levels are right. Making sure, I feel like it's like, you have your life, okay? Like,
everything, you got everything. And then they even do the intrauterine sonogram or something like that. Yeah.
Is your womb, I'll never forget, my doctor was like, your womb is just amazing. It looks so comfortable. I said, I don't know if that's a compliment. I don't know how to take it.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Right? I was like, okay. I said, so let's do this then.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
But I think it's like, and you have to do, you have to have so many menstrual cycle. Like they have to do that. They have to see how many how many eggs you produce. It's a bunch of tests. And I think, again, there's so much going on and you're processing it yourself. And so if you were to tell people that, I feel like you're already overwhelmed, it could be very overwhelming to somebody.
100%. Because at least you've had the process of going through this, right? So you know what's happening, you know how it is. But even if you tell your family, even if they know that you're going through the process, they don't really understand what it entails.
They have no idea. Like, it's literally, I was like, this definitely needs, you know, obviously there's no filming, but I would be like, they need to like really film someone's journey through that, because, and I don't want it to be some like sweet, oh, first time, like, because that's like a real, I think it's like that, it is realistic, but not for most. And so I think I would love, you know, I think like that video needs to be given, like, just pop this in. This is what I did. Now I'm pregnant. Here you go. Yeah. Like some kind of something to help out.
Yeah.
So much explanation that I feel like sometimes when I was explaining to, you know, my friends or and or like my family, they would be like, what? And I was like, it wasn't that bad, but should I have been that bothered like you are? But yeah, I mean, it's to me, and this is just my story, my truth. I mean, now because I think also because I'm sitting on this side, right? And you pray for this side. It's still scary on this side too. I'm thankful I had the right nurse doctor that I had. Not everybody is fortunate to have that either during the process. But I think support is the number one thing
that
you need. And it's so hard to, I think I had, my mom was not my first person. She had to come around for a lot of things. And so I said, I think I had to process that too. Like, okay, don't take offense. It's not me. She's processing the things. And then I said, when you're ready, just let me know and I can tell you all the things. And so she said, no, don't tell me all of it. Tell me bit by bit.
Okay.
However, right. Yeah. compromise. I think like even the people that are closest, I think they're the biggest concern that I keep getting, the feedback I kept getting is, I don't want to see you still being upset or being disappointed. I think that's hard for family members.
Yeah, of course.
In life.
And I think it's interesting because you say that your mom wasn't the first person to come around. My dad actually, I don't think is even anywhere near coming around. He still is not a fan of this idea. Just because, and I think it goes back to what you were saying. They don't want to see you hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to things like that, my father is like, well, you don't have a man in your life. It's hard. You know, I don't want to see you doing this by yourself. And I'm like, that's one of the things that I struggle with, right?
Yeah.
So it's sometimes they show you or they reflect your fears and your concerns, yeah. your worries, yeah. right? But at the same time, it is your life. But then it goes full circle. You yeah. need to go to your therapy. That's mm-hmm. why we have the fertility therapy. But I also believe in actual individualized therapy. Yeah. So I think you do the same thing, right? So I go to regular therapy.
Yeah. Personal numbers on my refrigerator.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So I have regular therapy and then I have fertility therapy because you get to focus on different parts of what's going mm-hmm. on. You know, it's so much to be throwing at one therapist and to talk about for 45 minutes or an hour for one thing. So yeah.
Right.
I totally agree with that.
And that's so funny. My dad was like opposite. My dad was like, I hate to see you. I don't like seeing you hurt because I'm going to F somebody up.
Yeah.
But he said, I know you and you wouldn't bring, this is like the most like confirming. I remember being very emotional. He told me, he's like, I know you wouldn't bring someone into this world without thinking things through. And I was like, but dad, I'm like, it's a very emotional. And he's like, yes, because you're my child. I know how emotional you are. But he's like, you also are super realistic. And I was like, you know me. And I was like, super nice. You know what I mean? I think that was nice to hear. He may not have believed it at the time, but it was something I was like genuinely need to hear. Cause then I was like, I can move forward in the process. My dad is very like super analytical. He's like very much a Cancer, very like, this is what it is. I'm be hard on the outside and soft and mushy on the inside of him. But yeah, so I think it's just, it depends. It's like, you got to find your people.
Yeah, I agree. That support means everything. So anybody who's going through this or thinking about going through this, whatever stage you're at, support, whether it be friends, family, therapy, specifically fertility therapy, however you have to do it, make sure you take care of your mind because yeah. it's stressful. It's emotionally stressful, physically stressful at times. So it's just know that, right? So let's actually go back to the sperm and egg donors. Now, okay. How did you end up choosing that, right? So how do you decide? So from the moment they said, okay, maybe you should look into other options versus your own eggs, you know, how did you process that one? And then how did you get to the other side of that by having them?
Therapy, prayer, God.
Okay, all of those things. Yeah.
I was like lighting candles. So I remember when I first did all the, like what we talked about, all the testing and all that stuff. I remember doctor, we had this is still 2021. So summer 2021, or late, no, yes, like July 2021. And she goes, so this, you have about a 15% chance of having your own kids. I said, okay. So in my mind, a percentage is, I'm trying to have my own babies. She was like, she's like, it's as you age, it'll decrease. You just don't produce enough eggs. And I was like, how many am I producing? She goes, you produce four on one side, mm-hmm. and two on the other. I said, six altogether? I said, wait a minute. I said, yeah. Just six? So yeah. I think that I had to take that in, right? But then she said, but let's talk, Jess. And I said, okay. I was crying. I remember I was crying. And because you're, again, it's a grieving process because you're like, damn, it's like, you know, this is something I really want. I've always wanted to be a mom. Then she goes, well, there's an option. And I said, I just didn't understand what option. I never knew you could do donor egg, donor sperm. I just did not know that was an option until I went through this. Again, I don't think it's talked about. I think it's more, you're like, oh, it's your own eggs. You get a sperm donor, call it a day. So she's like, you can do donor embryo. And I was like, oh, people donate their embryo? She's like, yes. I was like, I just didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course.
This is my ignorance. I was like, is it just white people?
But you don't know.
I just didn't know. I had no idea. Yeah. She chuckled and she's like, no. I was like, oh, because I've never heard this. Yeah. I just didn't understand. So then she's like, you can also do donor egg. If you don't like what you see for the donor embryo, she's like, you can do donor egg, donor sperm. I said, oh. So then, of course, like, I'm thinking, it just sounds expensive, right? So then I was like, all right. She's like, I don't want you to make a decision today. Best thing she said, too, is I don't want you making a decision today, and I'm not telling you to make a decision today, but I wanted you to know your options. I think I just needed to grieve the process, the fact that I could no longer have my own kiddos.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had miscarried several, so I was like, okay.
Now, was that with the process or was that
something? No, this is before. So that's why I was like, that's why when they said my womb is fine, I was like, but there's something wrong with me, right? Because that's what you think when you're miscarrying. Come to find out, I had like, through this process, I had like scar tissue. I had all this stuff. So they fixed me. I feel like they fixed me up a bit. And so looking through the donor embryo, Then I grieved that. But then I had to process, okay, if I can't have my own, what would my kids look like? What would I, you have to be very realistic in this part. What would my kids favor? Meaning, am I okay with whatever? And some people are, or will I have a hard time with that? And I think those are biases that you have to deal with realistically on your own as a person. Does it make you a bad person? Does it make you a good person? Mm-hmm. It makes you a human being.
Yes, right? 100%. And let's stop there for just a moment. So I think sometimes, even in group, you know, I hear people and the way they talk about it, oh, you know, sperm donors this, sperm donors that. And I want to take a moment because as a Black woman, mm-hmm. We've discussed this before, mm-hmm. where there are few options, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on the sperm banks or whatever the mm-hmm. case is, there are very mm-hmm. few, in the large scheme of things, there are very few Black men when it comes to sperm donors. So you have a limited choice, and then you have to do your criteria from that, what you want. You know, do you want someone taller or shorter? Do you want someone who, I mean, you can choose from what? Music, education. You have the options to choose.
Height, weight,
eyes, weight. Yes.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah. So I think just from a point of view from a Black woman, I think, can we talk about how your process was? I know you're talking about what you want your child to look like realistically. So how did you maneuver that when there weren't many options?
And I think this is the crazy part. Because I started in the 2021, I think because I got it at the end, like COVID, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like I personally, let me rephrase. One, there's several sperm banks you can choose from, right? One, there's one in California that is recommended. I didn't see any. I did not see not near one. Yeah. black male on that list.
I've seen the same. Yes.
I was like, not one. And I thought I was typing something wrong. I thought I was clicking something. And they were like, there's like, and I had to call because I was like, maybe it's, you know, my server.
They're like, my server.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
I was like, California's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Then I was like, okay, maybe black and, I don't know, Hispanic, right? Or black Caribbean, something.
Yeah. Is that background? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Correct. So then nothing. So I ended up going to another one. There just seemed to be more options. Not to say there was like, oh, snap, over 1,000. Literally, probably, I want to say at the time I looked, and this just sounds so crazy because at the time it seemed like that, 25.
That's a lot.
That's extremely, it was extreme that's amount. That's a lot.
The most I've ever seen on one website, seven.
Eight, right, maybe. Right.
That's fantastic.
That's when I first started though. So when I decided to be like, okay, finances, this, then third, you know, you're moving the pieces. But then you have to get the right vials. And I think nobody really talks about that. It's not just like sperm in a vial and that's just it. Depending on your process and how they want to do it, depends on the vials you buy. So if you're doing IUI, you get this. If you're doing IVF, you do this. But there's another one I cannot remember, and I had to do that one. Don't ask me.
ICI or IU?
ICI something. Yeah. R or something like that. Yeah.
Or ART. A-R-T.
Yes. So then I was like, that – when I had to put that in, that ended with me with 10.
Oh, yeah.
So it cut down like a lot of the things. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. And don't forget, you have the how it's washed, of course, right? But then you also have if you're CMV positive or negative,
it's if you have
a certain blood type.
Yeah. So I have a very rare blood type. So I had to be very cognizant of that. So I'm AB negative. And so that's the rarest blood type. And if you need anything with negative, you're automatic. It's like a Rogram, like immediately, right? So I'm over like, for the love of crumbs, like, can I win? So then it went down from 10 to 5. So do you see how it's like, it really does go down. The crazy part is after I bought the vials that I needed, because I was like, when you do donor embryo, you have a set amount of eggs. So you're just, it's not like you're not buying and buying and buying. I think with IUI, if you're using your own, that's where you'll purchase more. Okay. Just so there's clarification on that.
And I just want to stop you there for a second. So the IUI, you can actually also do with just donor sperm. So if you're able to, you can do just your eggs, your natural eggs, and then donor sperm as well. So I wanted to mention that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Then I'm like, so I had 8 and then 6 were viable. So they were like, just buy. I was like, how many? Then you're like, how many vials?
Yeah.
How many vials do you buy? I'm over here talking to my nurse. Like, I felt like a drug dealer. I was like, this is like a drug trade. Like, I'm over here like Franklin Saint out here. Be like, how many do you get? How much do I need? And can I get it on reserve in case I need more? And she was like, so I bought 2. I just needed 2. And I said, God, if this is for me, this is it. Right? Like, because at this point, it's a lot. Like, you're spending money, right? I think I chose this particular. I like this bank because you had more pictures if you wanted to. You were able to hear his voice. They both recorded it. I don't know why that makes a difference. Don't judge
me. It's absolute connection. Even, I mean, if you're dating somebody, think about that, right? You can hear them. You have that energy in the voice. Yeah.
Also, it's like, if I have a boy, I can't have I already have a high-pitched voice. We're not matching. We're not doing this.
That's funny.
So, and then you hear his voice. You also, I like the fact that they gave, the worker there or whoever's there gives this like, I'm hoping objective thought process on like what, how they appeared when they came in or like what's their image like when they came in. So I like that. So yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I was going to say that's a long process. It's not just something you do in one day or 1 hour.
It took me. So I ended up, again, this is like, this is Bristol and COVID-ish times. And I took vacation to go see my best friend in Florida for a week. But I had already been looking for 2 weeks prior to this. She was like, so basically almost a month it took me to like go through this cycle. And I did it where I was like, I need help like trying to figure this out. I said, I don't want you seeing the, I didn't show her the pictures. I just showed, you know, I just shared with her the things and her, she heard the voice and like what the people said. And so she had her input, but at the end of the day, it was what I chose. We just so happened to pick the same person. Not like I was like, I'm gonna go with what she says.
Yeah.
But it was nice to just have help in that because it's another thing.
Overwhelming.
Right.
Overwhelming.
That's how it went. 25 to 5.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because if you don't, you know, there's a time limit. There are hundreds of women looking at this one person.
Oh yeah. And so I went back, I think just to, you know, you check in or I was like, oh, I need to get this or this and the third. By the time he had no vials left. He had nothing left.
Yeah, the problem is if there's no vials, then that means somebody's like, there are multiple people looking at this one person. And you might see him today and tomorrow he's gone. You might see him today and 5 minutes he's gone, you know?
Right. No, so it's like a, should I buy? I have to buy now. That's what I'm saying. It's like a drug trade. I can't imagine. I'm just like, this is, must be depression that people be on in the corners. Like, I got to get this now because if I don't get this now, I don't know when you're coming back. Like, I just don't know when. Oh, I can't. It's too much.
So my question for you is, I know you said you were in your 40s. So mm-hmm. being an older and what they call SMC, which is a single mother by choice, right? Mm-hmm. So being older, do you think that affected one, of course, getting pregnant, of course, but mm-hmm. the process and how you're handling it or able to bounce back? Just kind of walk me through that if you think there's, you know, been a, if it affects at all.
Girl, if you have not learned from our groups, age does not equal maturity
at all. There you go.
I think what it is, no. I don't think because I'm 43, like in my bounce back, no. I think, yeah, I wish, no. No, that's just life.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was pregnant at 40, and then I miscarried at 41, which is when I started process.
Okay.
And I think I was more so like, I can't keep going through that and not knowing what's happening. Like, no one could tell me why. I didn't have PCOS. I didn't have, and it wasn't like I didn't have cancer all these years. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's got to be something. And I was like, so that's why I ended up going to the fertility treatment center like that I did, to figure out why. Like, what is it? Is it me? Is it my diet? Is it like, what is it? Because I obviously, you know, I feel like as women, we just want to fix it, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I was, when I first started this, I feel like, listen, and people have their own beliefs, thoughts. However, I genuinely feel like God is like, oh, remember, this is what you asked for. I didn't say how we gonna get there, but I'm gonna get there. But remember, this is what you asked for. And I'd be like, I got, he funny, you funny.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's one of those things, like, he was like, you're trying to rush. Or, I said I got you, let's go through this process. And so that's why I say it's a humbling process, because it's a lot of, wait, nope, go ahead. Oh, no, we're changing this. Nope, you're... And it is in someone else's hands. There's not a lot of control that you have over yourself. But in this essence, like in life, we don't really have control. We have control over something. I feel like we have there's a facade that we have control, but we really don't have that control.
Yep.
And so I had to genuinely be like, it's in my nurse's name. She's retired now. It was Doris, and she was amazing. And I'd be like, all right, I'll just wait for Doris to call.
Where you at though?
Right. And that's the thing, I'd be like, all right. But at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, man, this showed me humility. It showed me patience. It showed me, what am I genuinely like really capable of? All the attributes, I feel like that in turn will make me a better mom. In the sense of like, I have thought about if and when he's like, hey, why'd you do this to me? I didn't even want to be here. You know, kids say crazy things. And so I think I'll be like, at least I wanted you. Yeah. I mean, I love you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. I think, I think it's life. I think you're just like, man, I work, you know, it is financially toll, you know, it's a financial toll. It's a mental toll. And I think like, I think for me, it was the six embryos. So I was basically like, once we're through these six, I'm not going to do this again. And I said, I'm going to go back to the adoption board because that's where I was initially. So I think that's what I was like, because I had to be prepared for that too, right? Because you have to be prepared for, I think I was like, if this is not meant for me and this is it, then I'll go back to that.
And I'm going to say it's all a grieving process because you got to get past this. Okay, I'm not able to do this. Now let's go back to, you know, one of our first options or other choices here. So I understand that. I've looked into the adoption. I looked into fostering and, yep. You know, so it's funny. But yeah, I mean, that's part of it. If you don't have a partner and actually about that, right? So do you currently have a partner?
Nope.
Okay. So how do you think that being a single mother by choice and going through this process will affect your dating life, if at all? And how do you kind of plan to work with that?
Listen, the way my friends are set up out here, they're like, don't come back out.
It's trash. Do not recommend. Don't do it.
Now I am like Kobe. I got my 24 jerseys hung up in the streets. It's retired.
I love it.
So yep. Right now, if we come back, we're going to come back as 8. You know what I'm saying? We're coming back as a different number. So I just don't know. I really am like, I'm not here for this. Because the way they're set up, I honestly, you know, it's so funny. I think, who asked? My sisters. I have four sisters. They're younger. So they're all at, they're like, Jess, what if you meet somebody? I'm going to be like, well, the nice thing is, this sounds crazy, right? I don't consider kids as baggage. That's just me, right? I was like, the nice thing is like, I'm sure they'll ask like, oh, so who's the dad? And they'll be like, there is, yeah, like, this is what it was. And they'll be like, oh. So that's, I think it's more of a, I'm open to the things. I think the other person has to be understanding and as open to that and be compassionate towards that. Because if you say something wild, like, oh, you're some, I don't know, some like, oh, you're a test debate or something, I will lose my mind and I will be on a different type of podcast. I will be like, you'd be on some criminal
yeah.
one.
No, I was going to say the murder. Yeah.
I was like, I'll be a different one because no. I think that's the thing. I think you would have, I'd have to, and again, I think because of my age, like most people have kids already, right? By the time they're in 40s. Most, not everybody. And so, cool. Like, I have a stepdad. I have a blended family. Like, I'm open to the things. I think I'm not like, I'm also, this was also a process and I want to enjoy this process. I know. So my sister's like, when do you think you'll start dating again? I said, let the womb heal first. Like, let's get this out first.
She's trying to get you out there. Okay. Look, I tell her, listen.
I was like, y'all trying to have me double dutch, like, all right, trying to jump in, do tricks. I'm not ready for that yet. But I think that's where I'm like,
Yeah.
So I think when I'm ready, if and when I'm like ready, I think because it's like, right, I think dating is, you have to treat it like when you're taking something serious, like a job.
It is a job, though.
You have to, you do the things. I think I just have to be time management too, right? Because like, I think that's different where in the past, it's just been me. I don't have to worry about babysitter or like, oh, let's take, you know, let's go together, this, that, the third. So I think it's just, it'll be an adjustment.
For sure.
Stay tuned, I guess.
Yeah, stay tuned. There you go. We're going to have you come back just for that.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, understood. So I guess one of the final questions, because I don't want to keep you too long, but one of the final questions is, as a single mother by choice, let's first of all start. I always hear that, oh, you have the single moms raising the kids. You have the single moms. Now, as a single mother by choice, right? You already know what I'm going to say. How do you think that it's going to affect raising a boy, specifically, is usually the argument, right? Raising a little boy, raising a little girl alone.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is something I struggled with for a long time. Well, it wasn't like, am I ready for this process? It was more so, I think I was more concerned about what other people think, because you always hear like, oh, you think you can do it all by, y'all always
single
think
black mothers.
And, like, you're single black mom, da, 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 da. And then I had to like step all the way back. Because I had to step away from myself. I had to step away from like societal things. I remember finding out he was a boy, and I cried, not because I was sad. It's just a different, there's different things you teach a black young boy as opposed to a girl. And especially living here in the capital, I just, there's so much going on right now. So I cried because I just out of fear, and that was so sad to me. And I remember I talked to my therapist. I wasn't sad. I was hyped that I was pregnant. I was like, I cannot protect him at all times. So, but I've got to set him up automatically. Isn't that crazy? We automatically have to think like, we have to set them up for success and safety from jump. So, but I also, I have a bunch of neighbors. If I don't know if you hear them or not. They're outside now. They're like older gentlemen. They're great. They remind me of like around the way, sitting in front of your, you know, on the sidewalk. That's literally how they are. And they, I remember they were like, we hear all the, they were like, we're here all the time. How the hell are you pregnant? They was like, he real good if he's sneaking. And I'm like,
sneaking in and out, huh?
Right. And they were like, Jess, are you, you know, I think the older generation is more, that's like a generational cycle thing. I think because I'm, this is, you know, I own my home. It's hard regardless if you're with a partner or not raising a kid. And yes, I'll be by myself physically, but when I say the men friends, my dad, even though my dad lives in, he lives in New York 4 hours away, my dad, I cannot wait for him to like, he taught me so many lessons. I cannot wait for him to teach him lessons. Even my neighbors now, they're like, he gonna sit out here with us. We'll look out for him. Don't you worry, Jess, we got you. And I think that part, you don't realize you have it. And you have to accept it and be open to that. My guy friends too, they're like, Jess, well, they're like, my guy friends are phenomenal. Like, and they're just, I love them because they know themselves. Does that make sense? And they're secure in themselves. And like, you know, some work on the hill, but some are electricians, some are physical therapists. I love this fact that he will get to see all these facets of what men can be and are, and that it's okay to be like loud, and it's okay to cry, and it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that. So I think like, the criticism, I feel like we in our community are our harshest critics sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so unless you hear paying this right here and you contributing to the, I know, Bobby. Unless you're contributing to this cause, like you don't really have a say. You can have a comment, but I realize that's what it is. It's a comment. And I think it's one of those, I had to come up with my own bias because obviously I was affected by it, but now I would, because I also was like, I'm okay with that. I think I'm at a place in my life like I don't feel like I'm missing out. I don't feel like it's like baggage or it's gonna change my lifestyle in such a negative way. I feel like no, the baby's born, my life will still go on, but he's now gonna be a part of that, and so we make new space for that, right? So I think you just have, it's a definite mind shift for real. And I think I struggled. That's the one thing I really struggled with. Cause I really feel like some of my friends even struggle with it.
Mm.
Don't say the things. Mm. So I dropped it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, keep it a buck with yourself. I was like, you have to
100
with yourself and check your, I think through this process, I really checked myself a couple of times. Like, are we really wanting to do this? How do we feel? Like, what's going on? Some days you'd be like, F this dream. I don't care. Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm done.
My body weary. Like, and that's
IBS. IVF, the shots, it's a lot. Hormones.
Oh, yes. Cause when mom comes, when this baby's here, she was like, I want to see. I said, I will put a shrine for you. We'll do like Madame Tussauds. You want the shots? You want to see all the medication I had to take? It's, go ahead. It's right there. So I think that's just the thing. I think you is all that, that all that supersedes what people's mindsets are. Because I think it's like, I'm not out here looking for empathy or sympathy. Oh, she's doing it by herself. Okay. And he's not going to be, oh, my little man of the house. That's dead.
Yeah. There you go.
But I think like, no, you're my son. I will take care of you. And that's all. Just be a child and that's it. That's the difference too. That's just, yeah, we're not doing that. And so, like, I think that it's definitely a mind shift, especially for, I think, in our community personally. Because I just don't see white people saying that to their kid. Like, I feel like white women have been single parents for a very long time and don't get the slack that they don't get, like, the stereotypes that we get. And I say it all the time. And you know I say it in group. I'm like, if white people can do it, I can do it. I'm just saying there's so much stigmatism. There's more stigmatism on us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This is not a godly way. This is not the, you don't have a person in your life. You need a man to take care of. It's like a very like masculine machismo. Oh yeah. My Caribbean family, they have slowly come to this.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. And I mean, that's a part of the process. And that's what I was saying. I feel like being a Black woman in the single mother by choice journey, it's different. It's mm-hmm. not quite the same, because I feel like when you think of a single mother by choice, the first person you might think of is a white woman. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is just the idea. That's what I always got, right?
100%. What did I say? I was like, we donor embryos. What?
Yeah. So well, it's just, it's a different journey. It's a little harder because not only do you have to get over your personal grief and what you've gone through, but you have to do religion. If you're religious, you have to do society, your family. You have
generational trauma, like you have so many
different obstacles that you have to continuously get over. And this is not even, we haven't even gotten to the baby yet. We're just talking about it at this point, right?
Listen, it is just a twinkle in your eye. Literally. At this point. No, but that's very true. I think with like, again, I think generational trauma, I think also with like standard, what does it look like, right? Because we're so nowadays, we're very much trying to break what our parent, you know, we're trying to do better than our parents.
Generational curses.
And doing all this stuff. So like when I remember going through this, I'm like, you know what, if I like it, you better love it. And it's so interesting because like my brothers are the ones that had the hardest time, because they were like, we don't want you to be a single mom. Was you know, mom was single parent, we don't want you to be. And I'm like, yeah, but mom, like, it's such a diff, it was so different. My mom started having kids at 15. I'm 43. And I was like, and again, I'm not saying maturity equals age, but I was like, I've lived life to be like.
More experiences.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to be outside. I'm about to go outside for Trader Joe's and come right back in. Like, that's my outside. I'm excited when I see a new plant at Trader Joe's. That's my excitement, okay? I don't need to be at a rooftop every Friday.
Yeah. Say that.
I think that's just the thing. So like, yeah, I think when you have like certain ideologies, again, especially in our community, I'm thankful to be a part of a church as well that's like very open-minded and just is like accepting, because I think if I would have heard a message, it would have hurt me. It would have hurt, right? And then like, but I also know, okay, if Jesus was hanging with pimps and hoes, like, he gonna accept me trying to get me.
But yeah, I mean, if you talk about it, yeah.
Right. I think, and my Jesus is Black, so he understands the struggle. So I think that's just what it is. I'm just being like, that's just it. I think, and then like I said, I think therapy, support groups, like what we go through, and figuring, you gotta like, there's so much influence, but at the end of the day, it's your decision. Your choice.
I want to know if there's anything for anybody out there who's hesitant or just not sure, getting started, who's in the deep of it, you know, going through the IVFs, getting the big fat nose or anything, being on the opposite side now, right? Being pregnant and having gone through that. Do you have any advice for any of those people?
It's definitely a one day at a time. Sometimes it's even a 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second at a time. Some days are harder than others. That's just what it is. And you definitely need to check in and make sure, is this what you want to do? Is motherhood what you want? Regardless of how, at the end, is motherhood what you want? Not, is this the process you want to do? Is momhood what you want? If that's your, if that, whatever your answer to that is, your journey and like how you get there, if you meditate, if you have a religion, you have therapy, whatever gets you to kind of get your mind right. And just ask the universe, seriously, if this is meant for me, please, I'm accepting it. Again, it may not be on your time, I'm telling you that, but because I really was like, oh, I started in July, I'll be pregnant by November, and we'll,
yeah. Maybe. Rarely does it happen that way.
Like, that's dead. But I also feel like it was divine timing, because if it would have happened that way, I think I would have had a very different mindset, to be very quite frank. So I think, I think take your time. Just love on yourself throughout the process. If you're thinking about it, even to look up stuff, because I think the sites are overwhelming.
Yeah.
So even yeah. But ask all the questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. I promise you that. Ask all the questions. If you're not sure, call them up. If they didn't answer, call them again. You want to call another place and just compare. Go visit if you can. Do the things. It's basically like, think about however you would invest into something, right? Invest into a property or invest. And I'm not comparing kiddos to property. What I'm saying is like, whatever you are wanting and willing to do, you'll take the time to make it work and research and make it work. It's just like when you found a college or when you were trying to find a place to live or a car, you took the time to... You didn't wing it if it were. So I think it's the same.
Do you have any resources that you could offer to folks?
As far as like, what did I utilize?
Yeah, the process, anything that you're open to sharing, just how you got started or what, you know, what fertility bank or, you know, just clinic things.
Google.com.
There you go.
Then I Googled specifically for me. I was like, what's the IVF outcome for Black women? I also Googled for me, what's outcome with like cancer? I think you want to know. Oh, if the much more you know about yourself, then it's okay. And then I really just did daily. I think my daily devotionals got me right too in the morning. Just your mindset. How you wake up in the morning, everybody knows this, it is a trajectory of your day. So my very good friend who lives down the street, I was like, keep sending me the devotional. She's like, all right, nothing has to be said. We don't say good morning. It'd be 5 o'clock in the morning. She doesn't say anything. She just sends it. Whether I open it or not, she doesn't know that, right? But I think that's what I needed for me. I needed to hear those. I think I need to hear these words. And those words ended up, it was scripture, yes, but it was affirmations for a lot of things. And I think that was like, and then just having therapy. Acoma Counseling is where I go. And she actually is a Black therapist who is in the DMV area, who specializes in prenatal, during pregnancy, and postnatal maternity counseling.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So I would recommend her to anybody, but just like, again, it's counselor. So you may drive with each other, you may not, but that's who I go to for counseling. And then pick your people, and if you only have one person, see what their capacity is. For a very long time, I only had one person I was telling my stuff to, and I'd literally say, are you okay, can I share with you today?
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. That was literally one person until group was separate, but one person. And then I was like, I think I'm ready to tell my sister. It wasn't even my family. So yeah, it was like a slow process. So I think you just find your tribe slowly.
Well, I appreciate you, and I hope that this helps somebody. Like I said, the information that you were talking about, and when we met initially during fertility therapy, I mean, I was just drawn to you that you just give so much off, such great energy. And I'm so happy that you got your big fat positive. And I'm so much looking forward to just watching the rest of your journeys.
And thank you for this. Yeah, I'm excited to see your journey, regardless of what you pick. I think it's your decision. But, and I support you in whatever it is. It was great to be on Next Stop Nonstop. I think this was amazing. I think doing stuff like this and us talking about it, bringing awareness to it, it helps us feel more comfortable in the process, wherever we're at. And hopefully it helps others maybe look into the process. I hope. I want more of us to be doing it. I really do.
So thank you so much for spending some time with us. If you have any questions or want to leave a voicemail, go to anchor.fm/nextstopnonstop/message. I'll also go ahead and put that in the description below. If you're still here rocking with me and you haven't already subscribed to the Next Stop Nonstop podcast, don't be shy. Go ahead and poke that subscribe button so that you don't miss our next episode. Now, I want to thank you again so much for spending some time with me. So until we meet again, I want to wish you all healthy minds and happy travels. Next stop.